Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Creative Orange County, the radio show, where we interview Orange County, California's creative stars. My name is Susan, and I will be your host. In early 2011, I launched Creative Orange County, the radio show. We had a great two-year run interviewing everyone from Orange County, California artists to musicians to community activists to entrepreneurs and much more. I must say I miss speaking with Orange County's creative stars, so today's the relaunch. Joining me today, as she did for the first show in 2011, 4 years ago, wow, is Andrea Harris-McGee, director, curator, project coordinator, and artist. Hi, Andrea.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. According to LinkedIn and probably your most recent bio, you are one busy woman. I see there's a project called Courage to Rebuild with Orange County's Vietnamese community, and then you have ALHM at Logan Creative Arts. You're with Laguna College of Art and Design, and you also have Andrea Harris-McGee Art and Design. So, wow. Many, many hats. And besides, you're finishing an MA and the culmination being an exhibit called You're Better with Butter. So I'd actually like to start there. Tell me about your MA and your exhibit, You're Better with Butter.
Well, I decided to go back to college about 3.5 years ago, and I had been giving everybody else advice to continue their education while I was working, and I thought, why don't I take my own advice and go back and get more education and get exposed to some new ideas, and so I did. And so it took me a while to finish because I was going part-time, but I was at Cal State University Fullerton. I finally have just finished my master's degree in illustration, and I was really excited to be involved in the illustration program because I work in, you know, exhibitions where we do a lot with artists publishing and doing design work and communicating with various different artists and the public, and so illustration seemed like a natural for me because it's a communicating art form, you know, to be able to draw for people and have a language develop and a dialogue. So I went back to school and worked hard at it and finally got finished. And I did my big show about 2 weeks ago. The title of the exhibition is You're Better with Butter, which is themed off of my thesis, which I wrote in regards to art propaganda and butter, which was a very interesting theme. And I did a lot of research on wartime propaganda and how food and butter and these things were related to artists and how artists were kind of reversing propaganda on itself. So my show is a little bit of that. It's about this idea of propaganda. And I'm actually doing a little bit myself there in the show where I'm kind of trying to convince you into things. But I'm really, really just trying to create a dialogue. I want people to look at these ideas that are being presented to them in the world and about war and about kind of this divisiveness we hear about and really analyze it themselves and make their own determinations and not just fall into, you know, kind of being the sheep that follow along with what everybody says. And artists seem to always be the ones breaking new ground and being original thinkers and always trying to push that. And so I really respect that and appreciate that. And I wanted to honor that in my show and also in my thesis.
And so what was it about the propaganda and war and butter? So what transpired in the 40s with butter?
Well, during World War II specifically, that's only one part I studied, but there was a lot of propaganda where people were told not to consume luxury things like butter. That was one of the big ones. They actually used it as a slogan, saying that they didn't want people having butter. They were saying, do not consume butter, and that the butter's all gone. And one of the pieces that I reference in my essay is John Hartfield's Hurrah, the Butter Ist All, which is all gone. And he's making a joke in the sense and trying to illuminate people to the fact that, you know, the German, basically the Stasi and everybody is trying to keep you from having these luxury items, but really the rest of the world, all the richer and wealthier people were still consuming foods and food products. It was just the poor and the people fighting in the wars that were asked to, you know, withhold from doing this. But it changed the face of the community. And instead of fighting back and saying, you know, we're the farmers who are producing this and we should have be able to reap what we sow in regards to the foods they were producing, they basically relinquished these things and they suffered. And a lot of them got into very serious situations as far as, you know, not having enough nutrition. And this was widespread. It was with salts and foods, meats, vegetables, a lot of things. They just used butter as a reference to the common person because butter was this very creamy, wonderful thing that they used in a lot of the recipes and also in baking. And baking was something that was really hard to do without butter. So they started creating and inventing a lot of substitutes. And that's when margarine and all that came about was during the wartime so that people would have substitutes. And so I felt like, you know, instead of being better without it and basically sacrificing for the common good and saying, you know, you're better without butter, it should be for the war effort. You know, it should be for our warriors. It should be, you know, for the wealthy. I felt like I wanted to say you're better with butter. Maybe you could question that. Maybe there's enough for all. Maybe there's, you know, there is sacrifice, but, you know, there is enough for all. And it's just butter just became a point of interest because artists were using it in their artworks to discuss this kind of divisive quality. And I used a book called The Butter Battle Book with Theodore Seuss Geisel. And everybody knows him as Dr. Seuss, but he did a book right after the Cold War, and it's about this big battle that happens between the Ukes and the Zooks over how we butter our bread. One on the top and one on the bottom. And they go into this battle that lasts for years and years and years. And, you know, it just is completely nonsensical in the fact that we literally can start a war about anything. And so there became this whole idea about how food and this position of butter kind of kept coming up over and over with different artists. They kept using it as ways to reference war, ways of referencing sacrifice, ways of referencing this kind of reversal of propaganda. And also butter itself is this incredibly interesting product. I mean, the way that they market it and sell it and the pricing of it and everything, I started to study all these things. It was like there's a lot of propaganda that goes into selling a product. And something as common as butter becomes almost this elite gold, you know, labeled, you know, premium, extra perfect thing that you pay top dollar for, and it's just butter. And you can make it in your kitchen if you just get a blender and or you want to use some good, you know, stirring techniques. But it's definitely interesting how we can take a simple product and turn it into something that's premium and then charge premium prices for it and control that product throughout the world. And so I kept looking at that. There was another artist I looked into named Melody Syndromo, and she was doing a piece called The Butter Dance, which was also titled Exergy, and it was about this idea of exerting energy and the result of that. And in this dance that she does, she's actually dancing on top of butter, and she's basically slipping and losing her footing, and she's slapping down and falling onto the ground. And, you know, the audience basically gets winded every time she falls. They get completely, like, flustered because you're seeing this person just get hammered. And every time she does, she gets back up and goes at it again and again. And there's this undulation and this kind of pacing that goes along with it. But there's also this drama of recovery. Like, how do we recover when we've fallen, when we've been taken out? You know, how do we recover? And so butter became this thing about recovery, too, because once people got back into their thing, got back into a more stable environment, then butter became something that was back on the table and back available for the common person. But now, you know, it's at higher prices. You go to the store, it's like $6 a cube. I mean, it's unbelievable for some of the stuff, the premium stuff that they sell.
Oh, it's crazy, so, yes. Someone who bakes, you know.
You bake,
like,
yeah.
You know, European, I don't use the European butter. European butter is good old Trader Joe's butter is a pretty good price for, you know, four sticks. And so, but yes, you can get carried away, you know, buying premium butter and making a $50 cake. So it's very interesting.
Exactly.
And just the whole thing about butter versus margarine and, you know, but health wise. So I didn't realize there was so much around all this philosophical debate around butter. So,
it's a big deal. And also butter labeling is a whole field that's very interesting. The fonts that were used to market butter, you know, the black letter Germanic fonts and the different types of use of words and of propaganda, the way that it's marketed is really incredible to research. It's been really interesting for me.
Oh, I bet. And you have some fascinating pieces in the exhibit. You have a, you know, what is that in like a refrigerated container? You have a, you did something with it's goats though, right? A lot with
the goats. I started eating goat's butter many, many years ago. My family's part of my family's Norwegian, and we eat goat's butter as primary. My grandmother grew up with goats on her farm, and so goats were just like part of the family, and they became producers of something that we used, you know, the butter, the milk, cheese. And so I use the goats as a kind of a symbol of them being kind of the producers and giving them a nod, kind of honoring them. But the sculpture you're talking about is in a refrigerator, and it's an actual butter sculpture, but it's a double self-portrait. So underneath is a ceramic head that I did of myself, and then I covered it with 8 pounds of unsalted butter, and then I carved out a goat, which is my self-portrait of me as a goat, refrigerated. And so it was this idea of masking, kind of this other idea of, you know, where we go. You know, we all wear these different kinds of masks, and who are we inside, who are we on the outside, and also this idea of just kind of manipulating a material, manipulating the clay surface and creating the ceramic sculpture, manipulating the butter surface to create this, you know, really kind of comical goat character. And then, you know, when you open the refrigerator, this heavy smell of butter just comes right out at you, and you just get kind of consumed by that. And there's this real sense of awe. You're like, whoa, you know, this is an amazing sensation, because it's cold and it's buttery and it's this comical face looking at you. And so there's all these different sensations I wanted to deal with in my show. And that piece is about that type of sensation. I also created a custom fragrance for my show, which was a buttercream fragrance that I packaged and made samples for and gave out to the public. And I wanted people to actually be branded with my scent, which was the butter scent. And so people put it on and wore it and smelled like butter. And it was really interesting. And I gave out over 200 samples of butter fragrance to different people who came to the show.
Oh, how clever. And you had a whole place setting. We've got about 3 minutes left, but you had a whole like place setting, too, of, it looks like you made the ceramics also. You created ceramics.
Oh, yeah, I did a whole place setting. Mm-hmm. I wanted a dinner table setting for us to sit at and have a conversation and kind of have these conversations about tough topics like war and, you know, this idea of giving up these things and, you know, where we stand on issues. I also created a butter kind of theme for the table and goats, but also in the middle of the table was a large head of a goat that opens up, and it's a big cookie jar, and it had butter cookies inside. And so you would sit down at the table, and you would take a butter cookie out of the head of the goat, and you would sit, and you would have your tea and your butter cookie, and sit and have a conversation. And, you know, that's the ultimate in hospitality, right? Somebody comes to your house, you give them a cookie, some tea, and then they open up to you, and they tell you what's going on in the neighborhood or what's going on with them. And, you know, for me, it's a lot of that, you know, hospitality and that type of behavior of basically hosting people and sharing that is lost. We live kind of separate a lot of times. And so my grandmother always had that available when any company would come over, she would feed them and have these incredible conversations. And that was a part about being, you know, a part of a community. So I wanted that table to represent that and to be there, to be a part of that community.
Now, the exhibit is going to be reopening this weekend, so tell me a little bit about that.
Yes.
Will it have all the components?
It'll have most of them. Yvonne Flores, she runs a gallery called Gallery 211 in Santa Ana. It's on Sycamore. And we're going to open the show this coming first Saturday for the Santa Ana Art Walk.
Oh, right.
And we'll be there from 5 till 9. We're going to have artworks. I'm going to actually be going in Friday to paint another mural that I'm working on, and I'm going to have a lot of artworks there, and then we're going to have some snacks and just get together. A lot of people that couldn't attend my exhibition in Cal State, I'm hoping they'll come out to the Artist Village and check it out, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm just one of many things happening in the Artist Village, so hopefully we'll get a good audience coming through that night.
Oh, I think you will. And I was just able to run through the exhibit at Cal State Fullerton. Really wasn't able to spend any time, so I'm hoping that I can get down. Is it just going to be there on the 3rd, or is it going to stay for a while?
I'm going to run it through the 10th, but it's by appointment, so you have to call over to the gallery.
Okay.
She's up for it and we decide, I may go a little longer, but we'll see. But it'll definitely be there through the 10th.
Okay. Very good. Oh, how wonderful. So I think that's terrific. And, you know, congratulations. And I know you're just you're finishing up the exhibit and probably getting your thesis in, and then what, in the spring you'll actually walk. Yeah, everything's done.
Yeah, it's all going really well.
You know, it's terrific to have you again. And, you know, really thank you so much for coming to relaunch Greater Orange County, the radio show. I'm really looking forward to you know, interviews like yours continuing. So, you know, very much.
Thank you.
Again.
Well, good luck to you with your new show, and I will look forward to seeing you in the gallery.
All right. Thanks, Andrea.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.